This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
BFFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
I bring lots of guests on this radio show, okay? I bring coaches, opposing coaches, your home coaches, rival coaches, players, media personalities, and callers even. This week, twice it's come up from listeners. I think it was on Monday when a caller who was an SEC fan called into the show and was all upset about Georgia. And I gave him about 30 seconds, 60 seconds to give his piece. I had somebody write me after and say, you gave him way too much time. I'm like, hey, I gave him too much time because he disagreed with you, is maybe what you really mean. And then the caller last segment who was mad that I brought Softy from KJR on the show. Listen, I like dissenting viewpoints. I want to know what Washington fans think of Oregon. I want to know what the biggest honk media member in that Washington fan base thinks of the Oregon Ducks. You know, this isn't Facebook. We're not just going to shovel coal here and give you the same algorithm. We're going to shake it up a little bit sometimes. But Softy says if North Korea and Oregon were playing a football game, which is the most ridiculous thing, I just keep thinking of Kim Jong-un in a football helmet.
You need to put like a legal disclaimer out there, like, you know, any thoughts of Softy are not associated with John Canzano.
I just shook my head when he said it because I know what he means. It's hyperbole, people. But we got a caller who says, I may not listen to you anymore. And I know. And the best part of that was the caller's like, I've listened to more Softy than you have. And I'm like, well, why are you mad at me then? I don't know. You can't please people. I stopped trying to do that a long time ago. I'm doing the show that I think is the best, most entertaining show, and it's why we're bringing our next guest on. Bill Rabinowitz, the Columbus Dispatch. He covers Ohio State, the Ohio State University football program. They've got a big game against Indiana in Columbus tomorrow. Rabinowitz joining me. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, John. How are you?
Doing all right. Washington, Oregon week has started a little early up here. So people are very fired up about this game. How does it feel there with Indiana, of all schools, being in a big football game with Ohio State?
Yeah, I mean, who would have thought in August that the big game, the big home game for Ohio State in November would be Indiana, not Michigan, right? I mean, it's like, that just kind of boggles the mind. But Indiana's had an amazing season. Kurt Cignetti's going to be the national coach of the year. I might be unanimous, right? I mean, he's done an amazing job. And this is a real game. Some people are thinking Ohio State's going to blow them out. I'm not one of them. It could happen, sure. But I've seen Indiana enough this year to know that they're legitimate. And we'll see. It's a fascinating game because, you know, Indiana has not played anybody good. I mean, that is a fact. But they've just blown everybody out almost. And, you know, Michigan was a struggle. And I think it was almost like they realized, oh, my God, we're Indiana playing Michigan. You know? They're like, are we supposed to be doing this? And they kind of sputtered to the end, but they did win that game.
This season for Ohio State, we saw you in Eugene early in the year, big game, controversial finish, had a feel like this could be the Big Ten title game all over again. How has the Ohio State season gone since leaving Eugene?
You know what? I knew at the time that was going to be a pivot point to the season. Either it was going to be, oh my God, we're not this invincible team that everyone thought we were and we thought we were, and they're going to just kind of sputter a little bit. Or it would be like, okay, let's fix it. Let's kind of galvanize and let's move on and make this actually a benefit. You know, one of these things you'll look back on like Ohio State did in 2014 when they lost to Virginia Tech in the second game is a you know, blessing in disguise. I'm not sure which one it is yet. I think it's probably closer to the second. Mm-hmm. I think that they've made some changes on the defense. The word they've used is re-engineered it, and they've made it less predictable. I remember Nick Saban called out Ohio State's pass rush. It's a standard four-man pass rush. He said it was antiquated. And I think they kind of took that to heart. I mean, not just that it was Nick Saban, but I think they realized that they have to mix things up a little bit more. They have the defense since that game has given up 2 touchdowns in 4 games. Wow. Which is pretty remarkable. I mean, I fully expect Indiana to be able to, you know, score some points tomorrow. But I don't think that Indiana's faced anything like they're going to face tomorrow.
The Penn State game is interesting. And I was at Michigan that day because Oregon was playing at Michigan. And I was watching in the press box on the monitor is, you know, here's Ohio State and Penn State and a big goal line stand. That mm-hmm. moment where Ohio State makes the stand, that felt like a pretty big moment in the season.
Yeah, that's probably the turning point. If you're going to point to one, you know, series, that would be it. Because Penn State does not have a very explosive offense. And it looked like Ohio State was just going to kind of hold them off. And then Tyler Warren, who's a terrific player, the tight end for Penn State, does everything, went rumbling on a 30-something yard run and only got knocked out of bounds by a really good effort by Denzel Burke, who Oregon fans remember quite well. You know, they Oregon fans, Denzel Burke's probably their favorite player because he just got roasted that night. But he made a tackle that pushed him out of bounds at a 3-yard line. And still, you think at first and goal at 3, they're going to punch it in. And they didn't. 3 straight runs up the middle, which drew the ire of Penn State fans toward James Franklin, and then a 4th down incompletion, and then Ohio State ran the clock out the last 5 minutes of the game. And it was such an emotional win. I mean, I talked with Ryan Day before that about just how big that game was going to be, because if they'd lost that game, then you're looking at having no margin for error, possibly being left out of the playoff, which, you know, given the roster they have, would have been just, I mean, devastating. And you start talking about job security, all kinds of stuff. So that was such a huge game. Now that gave them a top 5 win that will be a very strong one, you know, if by some chance they were to lose one of the next 2 games. And so I think they're going to be in the playoff unless they were to lose to Indiana and Michigan, which I find hard to believe that would happen. But, you know, strange things have happened. But that Penn State game, especially that goal line stand, absolutely was kind of the you know, that was the moment of truth for this team.
The offensive line, I know there were some questions in that Oregon game and an injury there, and there have since been some reshuffling. How different is that O-line right now?
Yeah, well, Josh Simmons, who'd been playing at a really high level, I think The Athletic did a story before the game listing the top NFL prospects, of NFL eligible prospects in that game, and Josh Simmons was number 2, which tells you something. And he got hurt in that game, knee injury, and out for the year. And that forced Zen Mahalski played the next game. He filled in at Oregon. Did okay, but not great. Then played Nebraska, was really bad. Honestly, it was bad. And then he got hurt at that end of that game. So Ohio State loses their 2 top left tackles, and they go, that's all they got. And so they decided to move Donovan Jackson, an all-Big Ten guard, to left tackle. And then moved another guy in, Carson Hinsman, who really had played this year. He'd been the center last year, but got benched for the Cotton Bowl game and had been an afterthought this year. Well, they moved him to guard. And they held up. I mean, Abdul Carter had a couple sacks with Donovan Jackson, but for the most part, the offensive line held up. And again, that 5-minute drive at the end, they ran the ball every play, just ran it down the throat. Then this week, Seth McLaughlin, the transfer from Alabama, who had been probably the most indispensable player, he's the center, he tore his Achilles tendon in practice Tuesday. So now Carson Hinsman is going to go back to center. They're going to put another guy at Austin Saravelle to guard. And so two of their 3 best offensive linemen are out for the year. And the offensive line entered the season as the biggest question mark for Ohio State. So if there's one thing that's going to keep Ohio State from winning, you know, Big Ten championship, a national championship, it's the offensive line. We'll see how they do this week. This is a big test. But they've had 2 days, essentially, to prepare for this.
How different does the conference feel? And I always thought that the conversation we might be having would be, you know, about Oregon or USC, and now it's Oregon and Indiana. How weird would a Big Ten title game with Oregon versus Indiana feel to people there?
It'd be crazy. But you know what? I mean, both of them would have earned it, right? If Indiana beats Ohio State, they earned it. Oregon beat Ohio State, they've earned it. I mean, the funny thing about Oregon, Penn State, and Indiana is that, unlike Ohio State, they haven't played anybody but Ohio State. You know, Indiana hasn't played Oregon or Penn State, you know, all that. So you talk about strength of schedule, Ohio State's is, you know, miles ahead of everyone else's. Name the best team Indiana's played. I mean, I guess it's Michigan, but it's like, if Michigan's the best team you played, it's not a very good schedule. It's not their fault. It's just what it is.
Yeah, I was talking about that earlier this week. You have 16, 17, and 18-team conferences and 8 or 9 conference games, you know, per these conferences, and you have fewer crossover games than ever, and it's hard to figure out. And strength of schedule feels like a weird metric because, you know, I agree with you. Like, Indiana, I don't know if they've played a team that will finish the season with more than 6 wins. Like, you know, you start to look at them and go, you know, who have they played? But then you go, can I hold that against them? And what do you think the solution for that is moving forward? I mean, do you go back to divisions, or what do you do?
I don't think there is a solution. When you've got 18 teams in a league, that means you're only going to be playing half the teams. I mean, that's just the reality of it. You're only going to play 9 teams every year. So half the teams in your conference you're not going to play. And there's no way around that as long as you have 18 teams. So it's just, you know, how legitimate is a champion? I mean, I think this year would be legitimate because I don't think anyone would question that whoever's in the Big Ten championship game deserves to be there. But, I mean, here's a great question for you. Who's the 5th best team in the Big Ten?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's Illinois, right? I don't know.
Right.
I mean, who's the 5th best team? Every time you say, okay, that's the 5th best team, they lose, right? And you go, well, so it's a 4-team league. And I think there's still questions about Penn State being all that good. And I think until, you know, we'll find out tomorrow how good Indiana is. And truthfully, I'm not sure how good Ohio State is. I think they're really good. I don't know if they're great.
Bill Rabinowitz, the Columbus Dispatch, with us. He covers Ohio State. Bill, do the Buckeyes want another shot at Oregon? I mean, is that in the back of their minds driving them? Or you tell me.
Yes. Yes, they do. Now, you know, it might be a tougher game for Ohio State in certain ways. I mean, the one way it's not, obviously, is the crowd. I would assume be a pro-Ohio State crowd being in Indianapolis, which is 3 hours from Columbus. And I would think that Oregon fans would probably not go to that game. If they're looking at their budget and going, you know, where do we go? They'd probably rather go to a playoff game than go to the Big Ten championship. So, I mean, there'll have some fans there, but it won't be like, it's not going to be Austin again. And Ohio State wants revenge, no question. The issue for Ohio State, though, is last time they played with, you know, when Oregon didn't have Jordan Birch, and they did, at least for a time, have Josh Simmons, the left tackle. Well, they don't have Josh Simmons, and Oregon has Jordan Birch. So that matchup would be an interesting one. But, you know, Ohio State did not play well in that game. I mean, they some fluky things happened. Not Oregon's fault, but like that onside kick that went off Caleb Downs. I mean, that's just such a fluky thing. You know, the last play, did he get down with 1 second to go or not? Or the timeout thing. Look, Oregon deserved to win the game. They outplayed Ohio State. I have no issue with that. I think Oregon proved that they're a legitimate team. But I think Ohio State would look at that game and say, we kind of blew it. We did not play very well. I mean, Denzel Burke had just a horrible game. And so I think that there are a lot of Buckeyes and Buckeye fans that would like another crack at Oregon. And the funny thing is, they could get 2 more cracks at Oregon, right? They could meet in the playoff, too. Especially if let's say the Big Ten runner-up is the 5 seed. Well, they would be in the bracket with the number 1 seed, which would be the Big Ten champion.
There's been a lot of talk about whether or not you'd be better off as the 5 seed versus or maybe as the 3rd best team in the conference. What have you talked about, and what are coaches saying about that you talk with?
They haven't talked about it. I mean, they're focused on just the next game. And any playoff talk, any ranking talk, they just dismiss it. And that's kind of been their attitude. That's more of a fan thing. I can see the pros and cons of it. I also think there's a benefit to getting a bye, not having to play that game, right? I mean, you could lose that game. It's a really good team you're going to play. So, I there's some thought that like Ohio State or whoever would be better off not being in the Big Ten championship game and not getting, you know, the wear and tear and the possible loss of dropping in seeding. That's an interesting point of view, but I also think that the Big Ten championship matters, and you want to have that. You know, you want to win the Big Ten. I mean, why wouldn't you? And so whatever maybe small playoff disadvantage you might have, I still think you want the Big Ten title.
Bill Rabinowitz is with us. Keys to the game tomorrow, as you know, as our listeners watch and tune in, because I think there's so much interest. Oregon's on a bye week. There's going to be a lot of people in the Pacific Northwest, I think, watching that Ohio State-Indiana game.
Oh, I think the offensive line is the big question for Ohio State. Does it hold up? I mean, Indiana's got a very good front. That's a big question. Can Ohio State's, you know, reshuffled again, makeshift offensive line do what it did against Penn State, which is win the game for them, or at least not lose the game for them? You know, that's the big thing. And on the other side, can Ohio State's cornerbacks in particular, Denzel Burke and Davison Igbinosin, hold up against a very good Indiana passing game, a very efficient passing game? They do a lot of back shoulder throws. They're very well coached and execute very well. And if Denzel Burke has the kind of game he had against Oregon, they're in trouble. And as far as Igbinosin goes, he's really good, but he's also he's ultra aggressive. And it's almost like you just wait for them to flag up for pass interference because he's so handsy. And one week in practice, they actually made him wear oven mitts. I forget which game it was. It was Nebraska. I forget which game. Where he had, I think, three pass interference calls. And, they like his aggressiveness. Jim Knowles, every time he's asked about him, will say, yeah, we don't want to change him. Well, I'm sorry, but you can't mug guys. And so there has to be a fine line there with him. He's a really talented guy. Both of them are talented. I mean, Denzel Burke is a really good player. But, I mean, the Oregon game was just about as bad a performance as I've seen from a cornerback. It's, you know, as a cornerback, you're on an island. There's no denying it. It's one-on-one, and they didn't give him enough help, but he got toasted.
I want to ask you this, because Oregon had started last season with this game against Idaho, a game against Boise State. They were in some games that maybe they didn't play their best. They were close games, and they had... You know, they had to go down and kick a field goal and beat Boise at the end. And then here came the Ohio State game. And I wondered, you know, how much it impacted the Buckeyes that maybe that was the first time this season where they found themselves in a tense situation. Do you think that was a factor in that Oregon win?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think the crowd was a big factor. It was a great crowd. I mean, it was fun. It was, you know, outdoor press box and all that. So you could really hear the whole, you know, the crowd noise. And it was great atmosphere. And Oregon played really well. And I think Ohio State just kind of, I mean, they were prepared for that game. They were up for that game. It wasn't like they overlooked Oregon. They certainly did not. Because that was the game. October 12th, it was circled on everyone's calendar. But they just didn't play all that well. And I think that that's frustrating to them, especially on defense. The offense played reasonably well. But, you know, Quinshon Judkins fumbles the ball. I mean, that was a huge play in that game, right? Ohio State's leading. They had just stopped Oregon. They get the ball. And it was a great play by the Oregon defender. He just stole the ball from him. But, you know, then Oregon scores. And I remember thinking in the press box, well, we got a game now. It ain't going to be a blowout.
Right.
And you just feel the momentum shift. Because it looked like the crowd was kind of pensive and like, okay, are we really going to hang in with Ohio State? Mm-hmm. And then that happened. And then from then on, it was just a battle. And, you know, look, a one-point loss to the now number one team in the country on the road is nothing to be ashamed of, right? That's nothing to be ashamed of. But at Ohio State, especially with this roster and the fact all these guys came back for one more crack in the national championship, anything less than perfection is awful. I mean, they beat Nebraska by 4 points the week after Nebraska got blown out by Indiana, and you'd have thought the sky was falling here. That was right before the Penn State game. That's why that Penn State game was so important, because it looked like the season might be going south.
Yeah. Well, you kind of feel, I think you hit on it earlier, Ohio State at 9-1, Indiana at 10-0. Feels like Ohio State can afford one loss, but not two in the next two games. And so right. I picked Ohio State. I think they win this game tomorrow, but I agree with you. I think it's closer than Vegas thinks it's going to be, because I got to give Indiana a little credit. Yeah. 12, I've seen it 12.5 even.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you were to ask Ryan Day, you know, Ohio State wins 38-26 or whatever, you know, whatever that is. Thank you. Thank you. And we'll
take it.
We'll take it and go home.
Yeah.
I mean, Indiana's good. I just think that, and I also think that there's an anti-Indiana bias just because of the brand, right?
Yeah.
People can't quite believe that Indiana's that good. But I said, if like when the first playoff ranking came out and Indiana was number 12, I think, and I remember thinking, if you put, switch the names and you had Ohio State instead of Indiana, and you look at those scores, I know, bad teams and all that, but you look at the scores, there's no way Ohio State would be number 12.
Yeah.
No way. No way.
100%.
So I think Indiana's been devalued because they're Indiana.
Bill Rabinowitz.
This is a no-win game. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, you're fine. You're fine. So, yeah.
I was going to say, in some ways, it's a bit of a no-win for Ohio State, because if they blow out Indiana, let's say, people say Indiana wasn't very good. If they lose to them, it's sky's falling.
Yeah, and I think everybody kind of looks at it and goes, okay, Oregon, Ohio State, Indiana, Penn State, feels like those teams are getting into the playoff, and it's just a matter of where they'll be seated and how they'll be seated in the next couple, 3 weeks. We'll find out. Bill, I appreciate you. Good luck tomorrow. Big game, big atmosphere. And, yeah, it's the Hoosiers coming to Columbus for a big football game.
It's crazy. Thanks for having me on, John. Always nice to talk with you.
All right, you too. Take care. There he goes, Bill Rabinowitz in Columbus at the Columbus Dispatch. He's the guy. He's the guy you go to. And you can kind of hear as he's unpacking that. And I'll tell you, look, I covered Purdue and Indiana in 1998, 1999 in the football seasons. And so I was around Indiana quite a bit. And Indiana had a quarterback at the time that went on to play in the NFL. Antoine Randle-El was at quarterback. And Purdue had Drew Brees. And so even within the state, even though Indiana had a good quarterback and was like, you know, as I recall, it was like a 4-win team, maybe a 5-win team. They didn't go to a bowl game, but Indiana was about basketball. It was about Bobby Knight. Bobby Knight had, you know, he's still at Indiana at that time. And so it's weird to see the Hoosiers in this situation. And much in the same way that on October 12th, Oregon got a win over Ohio State, they gave validation to the fan base. I think there's a lot of Hoosiers out there who are sitting there at 10-0 going, we're 12.5 point underdog against a team. We're undefeated. This is new. And I don't think Ohio State is going to boat race Indiana tomorrow. But I don't believe either. I think Ohio State's the better team. I think they're going to win this game at home. We'll talk about that coming up. You got the bald-faced truth. Leave it here.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.